to connect with you. We love you, and we thank you for all things, Father, and we give your name praise. In Jesus' name, amen. Praise God. Amen. Thank you again for joining in with us tonight. Amen. And we're going to be continuing our study as we look at biblical foundations. Amen. Biblical foundations. Man, it's so important for us to understand the biblical foundation, how important a foundation is. We know a foundation is important in structures, but a foundation is also important in our own life. We're going to be looking at Hebrews chapter 6, verses 1 to 2. And I believe that it will be, it'll impart some knowledge, amen, and just some great information to help us connect, amen, with what God is doing. I'm just going to check to make sure that we're streaming on all of our platforms here, amen. We're thankful to the Lord, amen, for you being with us. All right, so let's jump right in, amen. So in the book of Hebrews, chapter 6, verses 1 and 2, we're going to be talking about repentance tonight. Amen. We're going to be really, really diving in and looking at this whole aspect of repentance is, how it works in our lives, and why do we need it? What do we need to have repentance on our mind for? Repentance is a powerful thing. Amen. It helps us to connect with each other, connect with God, and it helps us to understand the full plan that God has for our lives. So, amen. So that's what we're going to be talking about today. We're going to try to define repentance, give you some framework through which you can understand what that looks like in our lives. And then we're going to just jump right in and just see what God would have us share and know as we look at this atmosphere of repentance and what that really means in our lives. Amen. So I hope everybody got signed on today okay, and everybody's doing well. Amen. So let's get right into it. We're going to look into our text of scripture tonight. Amen. In Hebrews chapter 6, verses 1 and 2, it's kind of a core scripture to kind of keep us on track as to what I believe God wants to speak to us when it comes down to these foundational studies. Amen. Praise God. Okay, so as we look at our lesson on today, let's look at the text. It says, "Therefore, leaving the principles of the doctrine of Christ, let us go on into perfection, not laying again the foundation of repentance from dead works or faith toward God." He goes on to say, and of doctrines of baptism and laying on of hands and the resurrection of the dead and eternal judgment. So we see these things. The first thing I want to point out is that foundations are extremely important. We need to understand that that foundation that we have in God is vital. It is a vital part of our walk with God. It's a vital part of the work of God in our lives. So we want to make sure that we have a strong foundation. Amen. That foundation means everything. When that foundation is right, man, it really helps us to be able to connect with God in a powerful way. Amen. These foundations, the Bible says in 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 15, he says, "Study to show yourself approval unto God, a workman that needeth not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth." You know, this is so important because if you can rightly divide the word, you can wrongly divide it. And God wants us to be clear in our understanding of what the scripture teaches us. We need to know what the scripture said. We're talking about a strong biblical foundation. Looking at this foundation in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 15 and 16, he says this. He says that from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith that is in Christ Jesus. Man, he lets them know. Verse 16 says, "All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, and for instruction in righteousness." So here we see that Paul is given insight into the framework of scripture and saying, look, you need to know what the scripture says, because when we know what the scripture says, it helps us, amen, to be able to connect with God and connect with the work that God is doing. Amen. Connect with what he's doing in our lives. Amen. That's what God really wants in us, to be able to connect with him. Amen. The foundation is, but it all boils down to having a strong foundation. Know this, that the foundation is a place of beginning. It is a starting point for our lives. It is a focal. It is not the focal point, amen, of a structure, but it's vital to the structure. Because if the foundation is messed up, we know that it won't be long before there's a problem with the structure. Amen. And sometimes it's easier to start over than to try to build on a faulty foundation, to build on a foundation that is structurally flawed. So God wants us to understand that as we begin to dive in the scripture, we need to understand the full scope of what it means to have a strong biblical foundation. So I asked this question because I thought it was something that we need to kind of define. What does it mean to be a Christian? You know, I mean, because so many times we translate being a Christian as just being a good person. Amen. There's just doing good things. I mean, is being a scripture, is it just going to church or is it just having a devotional life or maybe just having a belief in God? Does that really make us a Christian? I believe that it's these and much, much more. I believe that Christianity goes far beyond just, amen, a system of rules that we follow. It is much more than that. A Christian is, first of all, a Christian is a follower of the teachings of Christ. Now, I'm very specific in my wording because, you know, I know years ago there was a campaign that came out said, "What would Jesus do?" And we would wear those bracelets and, you know, they would have headbands, WWJD, "What would Jesus do?" Because we really felt like that we really understood what Jesus would do in a particular situation. What would Jesus do in the time that we're in right now? We have rioting going on. Would Jesus be in the midst of the riot? Would Jesus be, amen, at the forefront leading the charge? And many times what we feel Jesus would do actually, or what we feel about him and about what we know of scripture will shape the reality of what we think he would do. Many times we can be very, very off because just think about it. None of the scribes and Pharisees and religious leaders of that day did not understand Jesus. They didn't understand why he did the things that he did. Why would he heal a man on a religious day that he knew that was going to disrupt their own, it was going to just mess up their head. And I think Jesus loved to do that. He loved to just mess with people's heads, you know, and he did this. So it's important for us to really, really be clear is that following, being a Christian has to do with being able to correctly follow the teachings of Christ. That God, he spoke words to us in his word. Matter of fact, he told his disciples one time, he says, "I am not going to judge you." He said, "But one thing will judge you, the words in which I speak. That which I've told you is going to be central, amen, to the plans and the teachings of God." So we want to be followers of Jesus Christ. Jesus said this, Jesus said to his disciples, "If any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me." So that means there has to be a denial of who we are and really following the plans and the teachings of Christ that he's laid out for us, because we don't always know completely what he would do or how he would function. But this we know what he's taught us. We know what he shared with us. We know the teachings of God and how they work in our lives. Amen. Praise God. Amen. So it's so important for us to understand that we're followers of Jesus Christ. We're followers of the things that he taught. Not only that, are we followers of the things that he taught? Amen. In order to be a Christian, you must be a person that walks by faith. You must be a person that understands that this is not, you know, we don't have all the answers, but you must walk by faith. I mean, in Romans, he said it like this. He said, "For therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just person or the righteous person or the person that would live for God would live by faith." He lets us know that this is not a natural walk. This is a faith walk. And God really wants each one of us to understand that as we dive into the biblical basics, we need to understand that we walk by faith. We have to live by faith. Faith must be the thing that challenges us. Amen. A Christian must be a person that walks by faith. Not only does a Christian need to walk by faith, but the Christian needs to be a person that knows the work of Christ in them. You need to know what Christ has done in your life. You need to know. It can't be a thinking or a feeling or an emotion. You need to know what God has done, that the transforming power of God has met your life, has changed you. We need to know that the work of Christ is being done in us. Amen. We need to know this. Look at this in Galatians chapter 2, verse 20. He says, Paul is speaking. He says, I am crucified with Christ, yet I live. Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loves me and gave himself for me. Oh man, what a great God that we serve. He gave himself for me. And Paul recognized the gift of God that was in his life. He recognized that God was at work in his life. And we need to know that. You need to know the work of God that he's doing in you. You know, and when we know this, it changes everything. Romans 8, 11 says, he says, but the spirit of him that raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you. He says, if the spirit of Jesus that raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, he shall raise up Christ from the dead, shall also quicken your mortal bodies by his spirit, by that same spirit that dwells in you. Look, I'm telling you, you know, you got to know this, that God, that we must understand the work of God that God is doing in our life. Lastly, of these, you need to also understand one other thing. You need to understand that not only is he doing the work in life, but we must accept. Look at this. We must accept the grace, the access. Accept that act, that we need to be a person that has access to the grace of God. We recognize the grace of God in our life, and we know that Jesus Christ is the access point to the grace of God. And we want God's grace to be released in our life. The Bible says, for by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourself. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. He says, look, this grace that we have, this faith that we have, is not something that's worked up in our flesh. It is the gift of God, and it transforms lives. It changes us, and it helps us fulfill his purpose and his plan. He said, for by grace are you saved through faith. It's not of works, lest any man should boast. So, can I just say this? It means something to be a Christian. It means something to be a child of God. It means something to be born again, to know that Christ is alive in you and that his hope is your hope. The Bible says he came to his own and his own received him not. In John chapter 1, verse 11 and 12, he says, but as many as received him, to them he gave the power to be sons of God. God has given you power to be one of his children. Amen. God has given you power and given you access to him. Aren't you glad about that? Amen. God has opened up the floodgates and enabled you to connect with him, his son. I tell you what, I'm so glad to know that God's power rests in me. He rests in all of those that love him. All of those. So the question I asked and I posed, and you'll see it as it comes up on the screen, is what does it take to receive him? What does it take to receive God? He says, as many as received him, to them he gave power to be sons of God. So what does it take to receive him? What does that look like to receive him? Amen. To receive him, those that receive him, he gave power to them. He empowered them. Amen. Those that received him, not only did he empower them, amen. The Bible says in Acts chapter 1, verse 8, but you shall receive power after the Holy Spirit comes upon you. God wants to empower you. He wants to empower you for service. He wants to empower you to fulfill his plan. God wants to empower you. He says, I'll give you my power. And not only does he empower those that receive him, he positions them. He moves them into a place of sonship. Amen. That they can say, hey, I know who I am. He calls us his sons, his daughters. He brings us into the family of God. And because we're in the family of God, amen, we can know that God has chosen us for this time. Galatians chapter 4, verse 7 says it like this. Wherefore, thou art no more servants, but sons. If the Son be, and if a Son, then an heir of God through Christ. I'm telling you, man, that's what God was trying to let us see, that we are heirs, we belong to God, we belong to Him, and that we can call upon and know that He's going to answer us. Amen. So back to our text of scripture today, the Bible says, therefore, leaving the principles of doctrine of Christ, let us go on into perfection. Not laying again the foundation of repentance from dead works of faith toward God. He says, or the doctrines of baptism or the laying on of hands or the resurrection of dead or eternal judgment. Look, this is what he's saying to us. He says, do not lay down again a foundation of repentance. You say, well, what do you mean by that? Don't lay down a foundation of repentance. In the Old Testament usage, it has about 42 times the word repentance is used. 42 times. I mean, so it's mentioned quite a bit, you know, in Scripture. So 42 times is it mentioned in Scripture. And many of those words, we'll see, I'll bring them up on the screen. In the Hebrew words, the most times it was used, it meant regret or to be sorry. Or to console oneself, to comfort. These were words that was used to describe the word repentance in the Hebrew text. Another usage of the word was to turn back or to return. You know, these right here were words that were used in the text of Scripture to describe this word repentance and what it meant. In the New Testament, about 64 times is the word used, and most of the time, in the Greek sense, repent basically means to repent. It means to change one's mind, to change your mind, or to revoke a choice or a direction that you have made, to change a direction, to change a course of action. I mean, change is a word that no one really likes or really wants to grasp hold to change. You know, the word change is powerful. To change one's mind or revoke or change the direction that we're in. The word change is like a root of repentance. It's at the root of repentance. You might ask yourself, well, why do I need to change? Or what do I need to change? Or if I change from where I am, what do I need to change to? These are things that are very, very important in the dialogue or the conversation as we look at what God has called us to do. Change is possible. It's something we need to know. Change is possible, but change is possible when certain conditions come in. One, change is possible when truth is revealed. You know what? When truth is revealed, change is possible. Matter of fact, this is probably one of the most foundational things that we have to understand, is that we need to be able to know or to be able to be revealed. Truth needs to be revealed to us, shown to us, so that we can know how to respond and how to act. When truth is received, not only when truth is revealed, but when truth is received, amen. It's all change is possible. Change becomes available to us when truth is received. Amen. Another thing, change is possible when truth is reproduced in our lives. God wants to reproduce this thing. He wants to make it alive in us so that we can fulfill God's plan for our lives. Truth is powerful. The Bible says in Isaiah chapter 6, verse 1, and I'll put it up on the screen. He says, in the year that King Uzziah died, he says, I saw also the Lord sitting on the throne, high and lifted up, and his train filled the temple. Many times we read these things in the text of Scripture and we think, oh, wow, that man, you know what, that would have been a great experience. But this is a revelation. This is a moment of revelation that God has given to this prophet. He was a man of God already being used of God. But yet and still, this was a time when he began to come face to face with having a face to face an encounter with the supernatural God, an encounter with God that began to transform and change his life. You know, I know it changed his life, because look what it says in the next verse, in verse 5. He says, Then said I, woe is me, for I am a man, for I am undone, because I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of a people with unclean lips. My eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts. You know, it means something. It's powerful. See, nothing reveals us like an encounter with God. Somebody, listen to me, they just needs to have an encounter with God. I was out at Teen Challenge today, and we was talking about an encounter with God. We need to know that it's an encounter with God that shows us who we are. We used to sing this song when I was growing up. It said, shine on me. Shine on me. Let the light from the lighthouse shine on me. And you know, and it's kind of hard, you know, we kind of listen to these songs and say, okay, what was that really about? We were saying, look, I want the glory of God. I want the light of God to shine on me. Expose the things in me that needs to be exposed. Let me see myself for who I am. Don't let me try to live out a lie, but let me live out and be the person that I am. Nothing reveals it. Repentance. Some things to know about repentance. Number one is repentance is something that is required for a relationship or fellowship with God. You cannot have repentance without, you cannot have fellowship with God unless you go through the doorway of repentance. That doorway of repentance is very important, because if we don't understand the door of repentance, we're going to miss out on the whole thing. Look, Jesus, John the Baptist came on the scene and he preached one message, repent, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Jesus came on the scene and what he preached, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand, because they recognize that repentance is one of the foundational acts that we make in order to come into relationship with God. Repentance is the doorway. The Bible says in Luke, he said that repentance and remission of sin will be preached from Jerusalem. It will be the first thing, the first message that would be declared was a message of repentance. And so we need to know that message of repentance, that it's so foundational that it is what helps us to understand the full weight of the plan of God. So the repentance becomes very, very important. Not only that, the Bible says in 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 9, he says, for they themselves show us the manner of entering that we have to enter into, and how to turn to God from idols and to serve the true, the living and the true God. See, he lets us know that there's a turning that must take place, that we must understand that God has called us to make that turn. To make that turn and to be, you know, who God has called us to be. James chapter 4, verse 7 says it very clearly. It just submit yourself unto God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. He gives you a way that you can overcome the devil and everything that he has. Amen. He says, submit yourself unto God. So repentance is required for fellowship with God. Repentance is also a turning away from sin. You know, the turning away from sin, this becomes very, very important for us to understand this whole concept of turning away from sin. This is part of the plan of God, that we would turn from sin. In Luke chapter 18, verse 13, there's a publican that's standing, that's praying. It's a story of, Jesus is telling a story about a man, a very religious person, and this publican, which was a sinner. And the first came to the Lord and says, I thank you that I'm not like the sinner, that I'm so much better, that I'm so good. And that, you know, he said, but the publican went up in verse 13 and said, he says, the publican standing afar off would not even lift as much his eyes to heaven, but he smote his breast saying, be merciful unto me, O God, a sinner. That changed some things in his life. See, sin, repentance, it embodies a godly sorrow, a confession of our sins, a forsaking of specific sins in our life. Look, if your relationship with God causes nothing to change in your life, then there's something wrong with that relationship. I know some of people are going to get mad at me about it, but I'm telling you, if your relationship with God, if you've come to know God and nothing has changed in your life, then there's something wrong with the relationship. Because it's impossible for us to approach a holy God and remain the same. Amen. Amen. Everyone that came in contact with the Lord, they have changed. They went through a transformation in their lives. You know, The story of the prodigal son in Luke chapter 15. Amen. The Bible says in verse 17 that he came to himself. And he says, how many hired servants do my father have that have bread enough to spare, and I'm perishing with hunger? You know, it's amazing that this son, when he spent all of his money on righteous living and got, you know, out to a place where he was feeding pigs and would rather eat the pig's food, he got all the way down to that point before he realized the goodness of his father. You know what? We need to realize the goodness of our Heavenly Father. Don't wait until you hit rock bottom before you realize how good he is, before you realize that the work of God is being done in his life. But this is what happened. He hit rock bottom. He says, I will arise and I will go to my father and I will say to him, I have sinned before you and before heaven and before thee. He said, I'm no more worthy to be called your son. So just give me a job. He said, just give me a job. The actual words he uses, make me one of your hired servants. He says, just give me a job. You know, I begin to think about the progression of life for us as believers in Christ Jesus, there's a progression that takes place. We all start out in the same place. We start out lost. We start out as sinners. But because when we come to know God, the first thing that he does, the first thing, just like this son, when he came to his father, he says, I'm not worthy to really be in your family. He said, just make me a servant. And we move from being a sinner to a servant. You know, that progression is so powerful because he lets us know that God, we say, God, just let us serve you. Just let us live for you. Just let us do what you want us to do. Just tell me what you want us to do. And we'll answer that call and says, God, whatever you want, that's what I'll do. I'll give up I'll lay down my life for you. Whatever you want, I'll serve you. And that's what happens. We begin to walk in this atmosphere of service. But repentance is not just about what we do for God. It's about a change in relationship. So we see that this is a requirement for the fellowship with God. It's a turning away from sin, but it's also a turning to God. This young man had to make a decision not to stay where he was, but to go back to his father. This is a representation of the relationship that we have with God. The kingdom of heaven is powerful because in this world, if you go out and you do all type of bad stuff with your life and you squander what you have, you try to return home and there's a stigma on you already that you have left, you messed up and you just didn't do things that needed to be done. You didn't do things right and you just kind of live with that. But in the kingdom of heaven, when you come home, there's rejoicing. There's a father that takes his arms and put around you. There's a robe on your back. There's a ring on your finger. Amen. There's celebration. The Bible says that when one comes to the Lord, the angels in heaven, they celebrate just for one. Just for one. Repentance is turning to God. In Ezekiel chapter 18 is a very powerful set of scriptures. And I'll put it up on the screen because I think that it's really good to see this. The Bible says, if the wicked will turn from all his sins that he has committed and keep my statutes and do what is lawful and right, he shall surely live and not die. All of his transgressions which he has committed, they shall not be mentioned unto him. And in his righteousness that he has done, he shall live. Have I any pleasure at all in that the wicked should die, saith the Lord, and not that he should return from his ways and live? Man, isn't that awesome? He says, look, God takes no pleasure in seeing the wicked perish. And he says, I will not remember any of their sins. But God is very equal opportunity as he deals with people. He also says that if a righteous man turns from his righteousness and fall into wickedness and die in his sin, he says, none of his righteousness will I remember. Aren't you glad that God doesn't deal with us according to our sin? So we have to make a decision to follow him. We have to make a decision to make him Lord in our lives and understand the power of repentance is a coming into an agreement with God and recognizing that God has everything in his hands. He's working on your behalf. He's working in my behalf. He's helping us to fulfill his plans and his purposes. And because of that, amen, we have a boldness to come before his throne. See, we're not designed to do it again, to continue to repeat the same things again. God really wants us to be delivered from those things, delivered from the power of sin in our life. When we are delivered from the power of sin, you know what? We do not have to continue to go back to the same thing. So he says, I don't want you to lay again the foundation of repentance from the repentance of sin. I don't want you to go back and have to come to me all the time and say, I'm sorry. I'm sorry. I shouldn't have did that. It's time for God's people to recognize that God is looking for a mature bride that loves him, a mature bride that understands the plans that God has for their life and is willing to walk in the grace that God has given them. So I want to encourage you tonight to do that. Don't lay again the foundation of repentance. Live for God. Turn away from sin and live for God. The world needs you. The world needs a people. The Bible says that the whole world groaneth and travaileth until the appearing of the sons of God. They're looking for God's people to arise. You know what? So I'm encouraging today, take that opportunity, rise up, let God work in your life, and let him fulfill all the plans and purposes that he's designed for you, because that's what he does. So let me pray for you before we close. Father, we thank you tonight. I thank you for each person that has joined us tonight. I pray, Lord, that you continue to be with them, be their strength tonight, Father. Help them to know, Father, you've called them for such a time as this. Speaking to their hearts tonight, Father. Help them to grow in the faith and favor and the knowledge of you, Father. Help us, God, to exercise ourselves to live free of offense between God and man. And Father, tonight, Father, help us to come to you in repentance, to agree with you that we've messed up, and help us to come with the right attitude, expecting and knowing, Father, that you are a gracious God that loves us, and that when we repent, when we turn away from the sin of our life, we turn away from the wickedness of our heart, Father, that you will forgive us and you will change us. So God, we thank you tonight for all those that have joined in tonight. We pray your blessings upon them. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. We're thankful for you joining with us tonight. Amen. This is Pastor Kevin Brown from Nalehu Assembly of God. Look, we know that when you touch Jesus, God will transform your life. He'll change your destiny. He will help you fulfill his plan. Look, go for it and do the will of God. Amen. Be changed, be transformed, and let God work in your life. God bless you. Have a wonderful evening. Amen. And we thank you for joining us for Biblical Foundations Part 3, the message on repentance. Don't forget it. Read it again and study it again. This will be posted on our website as well as on our Facebook channel. God bless you. Have a wonderful day. Amen. In the name of Jesus. Amen. God bless. Okay, bye-bye.